Okay, good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. What are we, the 12th of March already? It's not the Ides of March. Ides of March is the 15th. That is the day that they, all those sons of bitches, murdered Caesar in the Theater of Pompey, which was standing by as the Senate at the time, because the actual Senate had been burnt down by a mob. So you think your times are tough, huh? You think it's hard to be around in 2025? Well, could have been a whole lot worse in, what, 49 BC? I think 49 BC, 43 BC, somewhere around there. See, I'm such a history nerd. All right, so here we are. It's Wednesday morning. Let's get cracking. We have a special guest in the studio, somebody who's agreed like a madman to get here at God knows what time this morning so that he could be a part of the show. His name is Shildre Rosen. It's nice to see you, dude. How are you? Tell me about you. Just pull that thing a little bit closer.
Sure.
There we go.
How are you? Good. A little bit tired. I'm joking.
Day's just begun. Can you imagine what you'll be like by 5 o'clock this afternoon? Total disaster.
But thanks for having me.
No, what a pleasure, dude. It's an absolute pleasure. So tell me about you, because I didn't know. I mean, again, I'm not the most up-to-date person in the world when it comes to what's going on in the world. I believe you are a media personality, entrepreneur, all-around game changer, as it says in the CV, right? Hosting TV and radio. Representing brand South Africa as a play your party brand ambassador. You're also competing Mr. South Africa.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing, Mr. South Africa?
I know, hey?
Tell me about it. I'm not mocking it.
Yeah.
Yet.
No, it is a thing. Mm-hmm. I competed last year for the first time.
And?
I thought...
Did you win?
I wish I did.
Were there prizes?
Yeah, there were some prizes as well.
Okay.
But the guys who did win, Marcel, well done to him.
Okay.
So he's the Mr. South Africa for 2024. So that's just one of the contestants for Mr. South Africa 2024.
Does Mr. South Africa carry quite a lot of prestige with it? I mean, is it something where, you know, because I know Miss South Africa's got, you know, she's got a lot of clout. Like South Africa walks into a room and people are like, ooh, you know, she's Miss South Africa. We got to take her seriously. And yeah, she wears a sash and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mr. South Africa, does he wear something? Will people know who he is?
Yeah, it's also like a kind of sash, but it doesn't, of course, cross over.
Oh.
It just comes across.
Oh, it's like a scarf.
Yeah, like a bit of a scarf, and it says Mr. South Africa on it.
And is there anything about being Mr. South Africa besides that scarf that's cool?
Well, I think personally why I entered is because I'm a proud South African. I love South Africa.
Okay, I do too. Yeah. Good, but I wouldn't enter a fucking beauty pageant. Mostly because people would go, oh, what's happened? Why is that guy on the stage? Oh, get him off. Mostly that, but also because I think we all have ways of being good South Africans, right?
Yeah, of course.
So this is interesting. You've got a Jewish surname.
Yeah.
Okay, and then... I've never heard the name Shildre before. So where do these come from?
Yeah, it's an uncommon Arabic name. It means child of splendor. My dad.
Right.
Yeah, my dad named me.
Okay.
It was quite very adventurous
with
regards to names. I've also never heard my name before. I've only heard of one other person that had my name, and that child was actually named after me.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. There's probably only two of you.
Yeah.
And the surname?
Dad, need to ask. Ask Dad, yeah.
Okay, because I mean, I know some Jews called Rosen, but I don't know. It's the first time I've met someone who's not Jewish. And then you got an Arabic name, so technically you could solve the problems in the Middle East just with your name, right?
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
Okay, so tell me about the stuff that you've done in TV and radio. I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean,
I don't know about that. Not because you haven't done well, and I should know. But because I don't watch TV and listen to radio very much. Yeah. So tell me what you've done.
When I lived in, I'm from Cape Town.
Okay.
I'm born and bred. When I lived in Cape Town, I was always interested in wanting to do something in media. I used to do like ads, TV ads as well also.
Okay.
So I used to just be like a featured character in the background. And then Cape Town TV, the producers at the time, I met him and then he offered me an opportunity to run the Money Show on Cape Town TV.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So would you have to, because it's budget week this week, maybe you can help us.
So what I normally did was, because I used to work for Nedbank.
You really have done a lot. How old are you?
37.
Okay, you should be like 53, just judging by all the things you've done. Okay, go on.
So I used to work for Nedbank, and I used to just interview some of my colleagues, people from the finance industry, like Old Mutual as well. Also,
oh, you must have wanted to stab yourself in the eyes after like 5 days of that.
I mean, not really, because it's like what you're doing, you know, you get in the
no, right, but you're interviewing people inside the bank.
Yeah.
They're like, oh God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that, guys? Like suddenly we're responsible for like an internal bank TV show. And we're like, gotta find someone interesting here. Someone's gonna say something slightly controversial or slightly thoughtful. Like, so tell us again about you know, I'm being horrible. So you had to make that work.
Yeah, no, and it did. I mean, I ran it for about just over a year. And apparently it did very well. There was a big interest from people wanting to watch it at the time.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I turned 20, I think it was 26 or 27 at the time. And I just posted like about my birthday coming up and invited a couple of people and just put it like out on Instagram, like, this is where my birthday is going to be. Yeah. Oh my word.
So it was so like an open invitation.
Just, yeah, I didn't realize that was the
that's crazy
the power,
man.
Actually, of social media.
I would be terrified to put out an open invitation. Imagine the kind of replies it.
There were so many people that just turned up at the venue.
All right, and then you went on to direct this thing, Bubele Africa. What is this?
So Bubele Africa is a little NPO that I started together with Wendy. During COVID, of course, there was a lot of people who lost their jobs and so forth. And I remember walking one day with my friends. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Zandspruit River, which is not too far from here.
Yeah.
And we noticed, you know, like during COVID or just post like the lockdown, I think it was actually lockdown yesterday. Was it yesterday? No.
Yeah, it was the anniversary of it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No.
I think in South Africa, wasn't it like the 26th or
28th? I've blocked that whole period. I went to a wedding. It's the weirdest thing. And it's funny how this still comes up as a thing of conversation for people. It's like, you know, lockdown. It actually came up in a dinner I was at the other day. I remember I went to a wedding the weekend before, and then they locked it down that next week.
Yeah.
Because I landed at Lanseria Airport, and it was like a ghost town.
Yeah.
It was like no one there. Yeah. They'd completely shut the place down. It was bizarre.
I know. And I mean, if you think about it now, the way we're living right now, I mean, back then we were even just afraid just to like bring our groceries in.
Well, I wasn't paranoid like a lot of people. I mean, I was careful for at least the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I didn't stay nervous about that stuff for very long. It irritated me that people were such sheep that they were just doing exactly what they were told by a bunch of people who didn't know what the hell they were doing. I mean, most of those people on the, remember the Coronavirus Command Council? Remember that?
Yeah.
Had their heads up their asses.
Yeah.
Those people, I wouldn't trust them to sit the right way around on a lavatory. And they were telling us what to do. They were, oh, you mustn't wear open shoes and you should wear the mask thing. Do you remember how you had all these like tyrants in society who were telling you couldn't wear a mask, you could wear a mask, you had to wear a mask. I remember like security guard at the shopping center suddenly was this like Obergruppenreichsführer who was like storming around the place going, why is dein mask? You know, I just think back
and it's like, chasing people down just for going for a swim. And
I mean, they must try that again, because I thought about it and I thought, I hope if we've learned any lesson, it is that you must ignore these people. I mean, if there's some huge plague and it just wipes us out, then we deserve it. Yeah. But I'm certainly not going to listen to the experts again when it comes to that sort of stuff. Because clearly they were just wrong and they were fucking with us, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
But why do you bring it up?
So many people that, because that is also how Bubele started.
Oh.
There was so many
people
that... You
said Zandspruit, so...
Yeah, so many people lost their jobs. And I remember we went for a bit of a walk when we were allowed to go for walks. We used to meet us friends or come to the Zandspruit, go for a walk. It was busy. And then we noticed how dirty this river was. How dirty the river was. And I said to my friends, we should consider cleaning this river, you know, like as a little project. And, you know, our friends are like, oh, you do it. Okay. And the following week, we met up again. And Wendy was there busy recruiting people. Literally, that's coming to the path and letting them know that she wants to try and clean the river.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, sign me up. I'm definitely coming on board. And then, that's how we started Bubele Africa.
And now you're one of the people who runs it.
Yeah. Myself, Wendy, and Simon.
Who are Wendy and Simon?
So Wendy is one of my the directors.
Okay.
Who I also, like I said, like I met there on the Riverside, and Simon is her husband.
Okay.
He's also one of the directors.
Well, God bless the three of you, because anyone who's tidying up, and you know, it's weird to me that the same people who call themselves environmentalists or conservationists are less interested in the hard job of cleaning a river, which is that's a major undertaking. It never stops, right?
Yeah.
So things like that are getting your hands dirty, getting into gumboots, climbing into that water, pulling out God knows what, because our rivers are so revolting in this country. They're just used as open sewers.
That's true.
Instead of that, they want to do, you know, grandstanding about climate change and carbon dioxide emissions and, you know, complain about shit that they can't actually fix.
Yeah.
I would love all those people who genuinely care about the environment to get involved in projects like this.
Yeah.
And how Thanks, can people man. Get involved? How can they help?
Yeah, I mean, we normally have cleanup campaigns happening at least every either second month or third month.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually having we're in talks right now, working together with Sealand. I don't know if you heard about Sealand.
It's the big freight company, international logistics and freight company, aren't they?
So there's Sealand, the local clothing brand.
Oh, okay. No, then I don't know who they are.
So they make all their clothes off recycling, all their products off recycling material. And then they, of course, heard about what we were doing and they wanted to come on board. So we're planning a major cleanup with them and some schools as well. So I know Greenside.
Oh, very good.
And Waverley girls, they are normally always involved when it comes to our cleanups. And the public, they do come out. I love it actually when the public do come out to come and see what is this actually all about.
Mm-hmm.
Where is their money going to? Because that's also how we make our money.
What, do they just stand on the banks and make you do the work or they get involved?
No, they actually do get involved.
Okay.
They get into the river. We had a massive cleanup in 2021. That was one of our biggest cleanups. We ran it over 3 days and we had close to just over 800 people coming out.
How much crap did you pull out of that river?
It was in the XK. You saw the XK.
Jesus, that is also just a disaster, right?
You can check on our Instagram page and you'll see
you must have filled trucks and trucks and trucks.
Yeah, and then unfortunately,
crap? Just tell me about what you found in that river.
She's got it.
Polystyrene, plastic bags.
A couch.
Shoes, a couch. You see, I mean, obviously, I think something like that would probably go in during a flood, right? Then it would be picked up. But who are these people who just throw their shit into the river?
It's crazy, actually, what you would
find. We should just, if you do that kind of thing, there should be some kind of bylaw. Because we have bylaws for all kinds of stupid shit. You know, you can't put this up there. You can't put a roof that looks like this on a certain kind of building. Cool. Fine. Yeah. We need rules to keep society orderly.
Yeah.
I get that, even for someone who's rebellious for no reason. But surely if someone throws something in a river, which doesn't belong, the river is not yours, right? It belongs to everybody.
Yeah.
You should be fined some enormous amount of money or thrown in jail.
You mentioned something about the masks, for example, and how security and police used to police and run off to people to wear their masks.
Now imagine if we could do that for the rivers.
Imagine if we could do that when it comes to just wasting, number one. And I think also to be able to restore South Africa to its beauty is where we have to start by
cleaning up. Let's say you don't care about the environment. Let's say you're not one of those people who's interested in, you know, bunny rabbits and trees and shit like that. You should just, for your own dignity, if you live anywhere near one of these waterways, just so that you don't have to smell human shit, because that's what most of it is.
Yeah.
Right? And even if you don't have anything else going for you, that at least your environment around you is healthy, is not going to make everyone sick, bring about, you know, we got cholera in this country. We've got people who get things like dysentery from the water. We all have to use this. Imagine if it was clean.
And it starts with every one of ourselves. Every one of us take responsibility upon ourselves to make sure that we keep our little space clear.
Right.
Right. Like something as simple as tossing a piece of paper in the bin
Not
on the floor.
And I mean, I drove past someone the other day and I drove past afterwards and saw it was a woman. She must have been in her 20s. And she threw a takeaway bag out of her window while she was driving. And I'm like, you know, normally, and I've seen a lot of crazy shit, and you don't want to get involved in like road rage incidents. Yeah. You don't know what the person
has
in their car or is stupid to get involved. But I saw this and I was like, I actually have to drive up next to this person and like let them know that I saw them do that.
Yeah.
And that it is not acceptable and they should be embarrassed.
And I think it's a good thing also. I think it's good that we do call one another out.
Hell yes.
When we do things wrong like that. I mean, I also one day drove in Sandton City and noticed this person opening up. I think it was like a cigarette little wrapper. Packets and pulling off the wrapper off the packet and just tossing it on the floor. And then I hooted and I said, excuse me, why are you doing that? Don't you notice how clean it is right here? Like, pick up your
hand.
She just said to me, you can pick it up.
Oh, really? So she got defensive. I once parked and I went into a shop and I came back out and there was a car and there were people in it and they had music playing and all the rest. And the one guy, I think, dropped the stuff out of the passenger door and I was parked right next door. So they recognized me, which gave me an opportunity to like reprimand them, right? So they're like, Gareth, whatever. So I said, I'm not talking to you guys until you pick that up. And then they were all embarrassed. But it only worked because they'd recognized me, I think. Otherwise, they would have also said, oh, fuck you. You could do this yourself.
Yeah.
Look, you couldn't have wished for a better – you look at this rant you've sent me on this morning, because I really give a shit about this stuff. And I'm so glad that there are organizations like yours that do it.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I mean, it's a hard task. Someone has to do it. It's the dirty work, excuse the pun, you know. But someone has to do it. And growing up in Cape Town, I remember I used to have a rule for myself never to litter on a Sunday. I don't know why. Mm. And on a Sunday, I would never like toss a paper or anything on the floor. And I did do it in the past when I grew up. And of course, as you go through school and all these kind of things, you start learning. My mother was big on us having to pick up papers. And I think I was rebellious around that because my mom always to say, I pick up the papers.
But you know, it comes from exactly that. It's a sign that you were not raised properly if you don't clean up after yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed at how many people live in filth. I mean, our producer, James, you see his fucking car. His car looks like it's been through the Yuxke River. It's appalling. And, you know, it's just no self-respect. It's just disgusting. But there are lots of interesting comments here. Durban Dope says they've invented a plastic bag that dissolves in salt water.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There we go. Get that out. Then when the river gets dirty and a road turns into pothole, we should rename them after ANC politicians. Rename Bree Street, Gwede Mantashe Boulevard. Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea. So as soon as a street becomes shitty and a river becomes dirty, then we name it after people in the government.
But I mean, I don't know, like, it doesn't really have to get to a point where it is right now. One of the things that I always try to explain to people when they come to the cleanups is that we went up to the Drakensberg not too long ago. It was our first time actually going to the Drakensberg.
Yeah.
And while we were hiking up there, I noticed the water was just so, so clean. Like, you could see all the way down to the bottom of the water.
Yeah.
And gorgeous. I took it upon myself.
Drink from that water.
Drink from the water. Of course, nice, beautiful, crisp, clean. Mm-hmm. Water. And
because no humans live higher up than the source of the mountains, they haven't shat in it yet. No, it's unbelievable to me that people would, no matter what privations you are forced to endure as a human being, it's not about other people even or some kind of love for the environment. It's like, do I want to, like an animal, squat down next to this river and shit into it?
Yeah, and then you have to drink it down.
You know, I mean, even animals know not to shit where the water source is.
100%.
Right? Even animals. So 100%. This just shows you how retrograde some of these people must be.
If I can encourage people, like, who's watching, you know, and listening to this, I would say we should actually start to go and visit, go to safaris, go to visit them, like the marine life as well also, and understand how animals on this planet do not waste the way human beings do. Even when it comes to food as well. I went to the Kruger not too long ago and I did a walking safari. And they were explaining there was a lot of shit talk because, of course, they speak about all the dung and stuff like that. All the shit talk.
Yeah. It's a big part of what people I mean, these trackers and game, what do they call them? Game rangers. These guys have to know an enormous amount about shit.
Yes. And it's crazy how to like to understand how even like in the animal kingdom, another animal will come and eat like a hyena's dung just because of the calcium that's inside of it that they require, you know? And again, with us as human beings, when we toss something in our rivers, we think because it's out of sight, it's out of mind. Oh. You forget actually that is going to go towards the dam where our drinking supply is going to be.
Correct.
And now the municipality and ourselves, I think it's also our own punishment, is now going to have to use harsh chemicals to try and purify that water for us to drink.
And then those chemicals will have downstream effects, literally downstream and figuratively downstream effects, because we're putting unnatural ingredients into the water, which ought to be just clean anyway, you know. I think we've spoken about this for like 20 minutes, so it's clearly something you and I both care about. A lot of people defending producer James here, and I think probably rightly so. At least James doesn't throw his trash out of the window. You don't do that. Okay, it's a good win.
Yeah.
James has been cleaning his car, says Congo Chris, so don't bully him. Fair enough. I saw your car this morning. It's looking clean. I needed to attack somebody, and you just happen to be nearby. All right. Those chemicals steal your testosterone, says Chad's daddy. Chad's daddy, that's a hell of a name. When I say eat shit, I mean get some calcium, says Bitcoin Butt. All right. I'm interested in what motivates people. So why would you want to enter a Mr. South Africa besides that you love South Africa? Like and prizes maybe, but what else is in it for you? Because you're essentially taking part in, so you had to raise money for charity, I assume.
Yeah.
That's always a big part of it.
Yeah.
You have to wear these stupid outfits, which I assume is also part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what, there's a show, there's an event.
Yeah, so there's an event that had the top 10. And that's where, of course, I got unfortunately knocked out in the top 10.
At least you got knocked out in the top 10. I mean, you could have been knocked out. And was there a top 20 or a top 40 or something like that?
There wasn't this year.
So it was just a 10.
Before. Yeah, there was only a 10. I think the years before, there was up to a top 30 first. And then,
how much did you raise for charity?
Well, myself, I didn't raise too much, to be honest. I was going through a very, very bad time at the time.
That's why they kicked your ass out.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, and I felt like I didn't give my all also that year, or actually with last year. But for me personally, also again, why I entered it, I'll tell you a story. When I was in the Kruger Park, I ran into this couple this little family from Canada, Quebec.
Uh-huh.
And they had just arrived in South Africa, and they were robbed the same day when they arrived in Cape Town.
Oh, which man.
Pinned down to the ground, and their things were taken. So one lady that was actually attacked, she actually put up a very good fight when she was explaining to me. And I said to her, next time, just leave your things. Don't let them take it. Then they left immediately because they actually came here for a conference. They left immediately and they decided to go to the Kruger. And I said to them, have you guys been to Johannesburg? And they said, nope, they're never going to come to Johannesburg after what they heard about what happens in Johannesburg and also what happened to them. And I said to them, well, you know what, can I help you change your mind around South Africa? And would you take my Instagram? Would you take my number? And give me a call, and I just want to give you guys a bit of an experience of Johannesburg.
Yeah, that's nice of you.
And then
because people have this terrible idea of Joburg, right? And Joburg has its, what did the president say this week? Challenges. But it's not a horrible place, right?
No.
It really isn't. And it is the engine of the country.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of great people who live in Joburg. Mm-hmm. And there is obviously, there's stuff we've got to sort out, but that's true for every city in the world.
Yeah, no, true. And then I gave my details to them. I left the Kruger, I left them behind. They came back to Johannesburg the following day.
Okay.
And as I was driving back, I think just past Limpopo, I got a message from them and said, listen, we want to take you up on your offer.
Okay.
And stuff. Can we meet tomorrow when we arrive in Johannesburg?
So did you rob them? Because that would have been the authentic Joburg experience.
So they picked me up. They picked me up. And I took them straight to the CBD. So I gave them a little bit of a scare.
Did you?
Even more. And I could see shame. I could pick up on the energy that they were the like, so Joburg, afraid.
The CBD of Joburg looks like fucking Mogadishu. Okay. And that's not a compliment, by the way. If there are any Somalis watching and you're like, oh, he mentioned us, it's a shithole. So if anything looks like Mogadishu, that's the worst thing I could say it is. Okay. So if I said, I don't know, Kinshasa, which I don't know anything about, but even that's better than Mogadishu. Mogadishu is just basically rubble. So what did they think? Were they going, oh, this is so beautiful, I love this?
When I took them, we were driving on a Friday afternoon. So you know how crazy Joburg CBD is. Yeah. And I'm sure that they probably thought, okay, we are screwed. This guy is going to rob us. He's probably taking us straight to where we're going to get robbed and so forth. And we went straight to living room. I don't even been to living room.
Yeah, of course. Very good.
Parked on the street. As we walked in, they were all like holding on to me, I could remember. And we got to the top. Living room was absolutely beautiful.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Living room is absolutely beautiful when you get to the top. Yeah. And they were completely in awe about it. We had a couple of drinks. There was a live performance. We had something to eat. And they completely just like loosened up and stuff.
That's when you robbed them.
And I think I robbed them from the idea of what South Africa, what people make South Africa to be out or make it out to be. I remember the daughter, when we drove back, she said to lean over to her dad, because they're French, and she said to her dad, we should have come to Johannesburg a lot sooner.
Okay, but that's great that you did this. And I do think you deserve some credit, because people don't make an effort for you know, Joburg is not a tourist destination, sadly, for so many people from all over the world who come here.
Yeah,
they kind of, Joburg's their last thing on the way back. They fly out of OR Tambo.
Yeah.
And you know, the East Rand is probably the worst place to end up during. I know I'm looking for trouble here, aren't I? Imagine telling a trauma victim to lighten up and expect instant healing. That's called a warm South African welcome. Cape Town giving Joburg a bad name. Come to Joburg, it's not so bad. Welcome to Hillbrow. Even as recently, okay, hang on a second. This is now about James's car again. See, I should never have brought this up. You got your car polished on Saturday? Huh. Very impressed, James. Sugar Shabalala says here that the Drakensberg is amazing. So this is great, dude. I like that you're kind of a one-man tourist bureau for South Africa. That's great, and particularly for Johannesburg.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got to look at a couple of stories that are in the news this morning. I don't know if you know about this, but there's this huge big campaign on. It's basically a terror campaign in the United States against Tesla, because the left-wing lunatics in America hate Elon Musk so much, right? And they hate what he's doing inside the DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency. That they're now turning on Tesla drivers. So there were a couple of Tesla trucks attacked in various places. People throwing things at them, people damaging the vehicles, people blowing up and damaging Tesla dealerships in America. It's only a few incidents, but it's definitely indicative of the kind of terror that only comes from one side of the political aisle. I mean, I didn't see, you remember when the conservatives in America boycotted Budweiser beer because they got like that woman stroke man, you know, the one with the who did all the Budweiser ads, the guy who dresses up as a girl, Dylan Mulvaney. Okay, you know, so that happened. Conservatives were like, we're going to boycott Budweiser beer. They brought the company to its knees, and it did an enormous amount of damage to the brand Budweiser. Anyway, it was Bud Light. Anyway. There was no violence. There were no attacks. Nothing was destroyed. There was no property damaged. But because the crazy people on the left hate Elon Musk so much for what he's doing, they're taking it out on, again, it's what weak people do, right? They take it out on whoever's at hand or whoever is weaker than them. So if your car is parked on the side of the road and there's no one there, then they'll like scratch it. Those are the kind of people we're talking about. So Donald Trump apparently is going to buy a Tesla in support of Elon Musk. There's a big story on Twitter this morning. So you can imagine him. Elon, you might not be able to sell to the crazies and the left, but I'm going to buy some Cybertrucks. I love a Cybertruck. Great car. Very strong car. So he's publicly declared his intention to purchase a Tesla vehicle, citing support as a show of support for Elon Musk, who he describes as a real patriot. The announcement comes amidst reported attacks. These are not reported attacks. They have happened on Tesla dealerships by critics labeled as radical left-wing lunatics by Trump. That's what they are. I don't know how else you'd say it. I mean, can you imagine being so deranged that you can't actually argue about saving people tax money, for example? So what you do is you attack cars made by the company that is owned by the guy who's in charge of Doge. That is a long chain of causality that you need to affect. And I think that they should be arresting people and putting them in jail. That's what they got to do. Someone damaged my car. Listen, I wouldn't drive one of those Cybertrucks. I think they're hideous.
Yeah.
That's the ugliest thing I've, well, not the ugliest, but Judge is probably worse. So, you know, yeah, there are things that are worse than that. But it's not a great looking car. I don't like the look of them. Yeah. And if I had one and I liked it, I certainly wouldn't want a bunch of people who had a political problem to be attacking me.
Yeah.
Those, the property damage, send them straight to jail. Like we said about people who litter in rivers, send these radical lunatics to jail. And I don't know why police in America aren't doing that.
The same way we did with masks.
Exactly.
You weren't wearing a mask, you're going to jail.
Right.
So.
Except these guys will deserve it, right? So he put out a Trump truth. What do they call it? A truth on his Truth Social.
Mm-hmm.
To Republicans, conservatives, all the Americans, Elon Musk is putting it on the line in order to help our great nation. He's doing a fantastic job. You can just hear him saying this.
Are you doing a fantastic job with the impression?
But the radical left lunatics, as they often do, are trying to illegally and collusively boycott Tesla, one of the world's great automakers. It's the biggest car company in the world now. Mm. You know that. And they are extremely successful. It, you know, there wasn't really a Tesla when Elon took it over.
Okay.
A lot of people he bought the company. He actually bought the ideas and the patents, and he bought the work that had been done already. There were no employees in the company. Now I think they employ over 100,000 people.
Wow.
So you have to ask yourself, if you hate Elon so much, ask yourself a couple of questions. First of all, do I have the money to buy a Tesla? And if I do, would I want to buy one? Second of all, do I want someone in the government trying to save tax money and give it back to me? Do I want the government to run more efficiently? Your answer to that has got to be yes, unless you've been hit really hard in the head a couple of hundred times. Mm. Like, who would want government to be more inefficient except crooks inside the government?
Yeah.
Right? So you would want that. There are so many other things I could bring up here about, you know, the arguments that I hear from these people about, Elon's stupid, or because he did this, my heart goes out to you thing, that he's a Nazi. I mean, it's just unbelievable how stupid people can be.
Yeah.
But it's because they're deranged and their ideology's been attacked, and they don't actually have a good argument against it. Yeah. So instead of trying to mount an argument, they must attack cars and dealerships. It's
like
crazy.
You said, soft targets or weak people go for soft targets.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we know, of course, a car won't be able to like retaliate and do anything back.
These are the same people who will beat up girls and women because they can't actually face a man in a one-on-one fight. If they've got an issue with someone, they always take it out on someone close to them.
Yeah.
You know, they're just weak. These are weak losers. And they're the dregs of society. There's just no two ways about it. I just want to show you a quick clip. This might amuse you a little bit. You got that woman who introduces herself. I thought we'd, since Trump was elected, I thought we'd left this crap behind. But clearly, there are still people going on their pronouns. This is, I'm not sure what the actual gender at birth of this person was. I don't care. It's just so uninteresting to me. But the funny thing is, people like this always expect you to be as interested in them as they are in themselves. And nobody is, which is why they look the way they do. And they all look horrible. These are not the kind of people who could win Mr. or Miss South Africa, all right? By the way, I saw a very funny comment from Bitcoin Butt in the comments earlier. He said, the prize for winning Mr. South Africa is you should actually win Miss South Africa.
That's a good one.
You should get her. She should like, okay, I got her for a year. Okay, that's great. Because she's always going to be attractive, yeah. Right?
And she's going to help with the following
as well. Watch this clip quickly. Take a look here and tell me what you make of this.
Or at least that's what I share with people most often. But for this particular meeting, I will come out fully as saying that my pronouns are she, they, him. Them, or at least that's what I share with people most often. But for this particular meeting, I will come out fully as saying that my pronouns are she, they, him.
All right. So you notice that when that person says, I will come out fully now and say my pronouns are she, him, them, or whatever they are. And then she goes, like, are you taking this in? Like, this is a profound thing I'm saying about myself. I've said this a million times, and I don't expect you to get political, get into trouble here. If you have personality and character, and people can use adjectives to describe you, then all of this is completely uninteresting. But if you have no personality, you have no character, you don't really have any substance, then these are the most important things about you because they're invented. They are cheap. Anyone can grab a hold of them. You could put them in your bio. Takes no effort. Takes zero application. And then you can pretend, you can perform, you can parade yourself around as being interesting because you have different pronouns to what other people who have the same gender at birth that you do might have. It's a shortcut to virtue that you don't deserve. And I have no time for people like this. And you can see that's what it is in this clip because this person goes, after they've announced their pronouns, like everyone must be hugely impressed. They give us a moment to think about, gee, that's amazing. You can see, goes, after announcing the pronouns, nobody in the world gives two shits about that person. And that is exactly why it's important that the pronouns are announced. Because when whoever that is gets home, they're alone. No one's phoning. No one's messaging. No one's interested. And basically, they're just desperate for love and attention. And we shouldn't give it to them. That person deserves to be alone because they are awful, self-involved, self-absorbed, dreary nobodies. And we should be paying no attention to them. But I do think it's funny that after Trump's nomination, we still have people like that, still going to like town council meetings or whatever place it was that this person decided to put themselves in front of a microphone for. And then push their nonsense onto the rest of us who are carrying on with our lives. So uninteresting. Can't tell you how boring. Speaking of uninteresting and boring, do you remember Amanda Bynes? No. Like a Disney.
Maybe what was see Amanda? A picture or a video.
Yeah, well, I've got a picture for you. What was Amanda Bynes in? The Amanda Show. No, but before that, she was in Disney stuff, right? Nickelodeon kid stuff. So obviously, I could put you on kids' television if you're an absolute bog troll because you'll frighten the kids.
Yeah.
You know? So here's a picture of Amanda Bynes. Just take a look at this quickly. Mm-hmm. That's how she used to look on the right, on the mm-hmm. left. And on the right's what she looks like now.
Yeah.
This is in the space of, you know, less than 20 years. It's just horrific. Yeah. That person on the left, that's a beautiful, and listen, we all age, right? So this is not a question about, well, you know, she's not dyeing her hair or she hasn't been.
She almost doesn't look like the same person.
It doesn't look like the same person. That person on the right is like the person we saw in the previous clip.
Yeah.
You know, that really, yeah. I mean, compare them. They're revolting. And I just wondered what happened there. Like how much terrible shit can happen to a person in their life? Or how little do you have to stop caring about yourself? How much do you have to stop caring about yourself to let yourself go like that? Yeah. You know, what you said you went through a bad time a couple of years ago,
yeah.
But you didn't let yourself become a complete disgrace, did you?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm probably going to say things that might be a little bit...
No, you're allowed.
Contradictory to,
well done, Sheldrake,
to what you are saying.
You just figured out that this show is all about arguments and saying things that you really believe in. Go for it.
But, well, I mean, working doing the work that I've been doing, I think that's also what encouraged me to not go off the rails and stuff. You know?
Yeah.
I remember this one day when we were busy cleaning. Well, actually, we were cleaning the river, and some of the people in the community came together, and someone then started running on the river because they noticed how clean it was. And then there was someone sleeping under the bridge, and he messaged in the group and he said, "There's a guy sleeping under the bridge." And I messaged him, DM'd him, and I said to him, "Can you meet me and tell me where this person is that's laying under the bridge?" We went there together, and then I asked in front of this guy, who of course lodged the complaint, why are you laying under the bridge? Tell us what's happening. And we found out that this guy actually lost his job because of COVID. He was an A grade waiter. He couldn't continue paying his rent. He got thrown out of his place where he was living and stuff. Yeah. And so we said to him, well, then just make sure to clean your area.
Mm-hmm.
We then shared in the guy who lodged the complaint, he then shared in the group about why this guy was laying under the bridge. And that sparked a whole lot of people within the area to come and bring this guy a tent, clothes, a bit of food and everything.
People and are nice, huh?
Yeah, and within...
There are good people in the world.
within 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, he was gone. He then managed to because he said he will just leave and he will be able to pick his life up again because this is kind of like helping him right now.
And who knows? He's obviously not under the bridge anymore, but
yeah.
Who knows what he could be doing?
So I understand, yes, we do find people who really... chooses to go down or off the rails like that. And then you find people who just I feel sometimes the system has been it's so tight where everyone is kind of struggling and stuff and trying to just...
Everyone, listen, put up that thing about everyone's going through a struggle. You'll agree with this, Sheldre. Take a look. Everybody you meet is fighting a battle that you don't know about. Attack them. Now they're fighting two battles. That's my philosophy. You know, I do like that. I shared it with some people in a meeting yesterday, and they were like, "No, you can't say that."
Yeah.
Yes, you can. I think it also, there are good people in the world, but I think that there's honest and true compassion.
Yeah.
Like where you take the time and trouble to hear someone's story like you did about that guy under the bridge. And you see what you can do to help them.
Yeah.
And that is a terrific way to deal with pretty much any adversity that you or someone else in your life is going through, or even people that you don't know, strangers.
Yeah.
And we sometimes have, our cup is full enough for us to be able to help others.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't believe for a second is that everybody has a cup that's full enough to be able to do something for someone else. Most people say they do and they want points,
mm-hmm.
Merit points for doing good things.
Yeah.
And that's not what you should be doing it for.
Mm.
It's what you do when no one else is watching.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I mean, I asked you, which is why you brought up the story, but I'm sure that you don't go around telling everybody how you helped that guy under the bridge or how you clean rivers.
Yeah.
You just, this is what you do. This makes you happy.
Yeah, you just
You're putting something back. On the other hand, if you don't want to help people, that's also fine.
That's
I don't think
fine.
You're a shit.
Yeah.
And I don't have any problem with inequality either. I was driving yesterday and I noticed that there are a few people who in the rain were on their way to a taxi rank or a bus stop or to the shops or in between wherever they were running to, holding up sheets and whatever, plastic sheets or black plastic bags or whatever over them because the rain was coming down pretty hard yesterday afternoon. And where most people would be overcome with, and I think there are a lot of good people who are genuinely compassionate, right? But most people would be like, "Oh my God, that's so unfair. I'm going to stop my car now and load up all three of these people on the side of the road." I was like, can't help everybody.
But it's rain.
Exactly.
It's
and it happens
rain.
Every other day. And it's not as if God is punishing those people. Or they're the unluckiest people on earth.
Yeah.
They'll get dry eventually. They've got a place where they can take off those clothes and put on others.
Yeah.
You don't have to be overwhelmed by inequality the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same as well. So I always say, like you're saying, the example of the rain. I'm the kind of person that go out and dance in the rain.
Yeah, funniest thing. So I got to the gym yesterday afternoon, and then I was training, and after I walked out of the gym, it was raining really hard.
Yeah.
And suddenly I was one of those people who was running in the rain. But I looked up and it was still quite light. It was probably about 6. And I just looked and I smiled. I was like so happy to be in the summer rain.
Yeah, because like, again, why are we running away from the rain? It's just rain. We should be running away from
look, other things. I'm sure those people who were running from the rain when I saw them, they were just trying to get out of it because they didn't want to be sopping wet by the time they
But
got
also
up.
Like you're saying, people sometimes just completely they blow up things unnecessarily, especially if
Everything's about like the government. Yeah. Everything is about inequality and poverty and I shame them and I feel somehow superior. Bullshit. Just like sometimes it's just rain.
My argument is just how are you going to see the situation? You know, how are you going to change? Are you going to dance in the rain or are you going to go and duck for cover and run and complain and try and get everyone else's sympathy for rain?
All right. We have got to get to, from talking about like strange differences between people in the world, we're going to go, and every Wednesday, every second Wednesday, we do a window seat with travel.co.za. And this morning, we're going all the way to Sri Lanka. Now, I've never been to Sri Lanka.
Same.
I don't know anything about Sri Lanka, but luckily we've got Tracy, who's been on the show before, Tracy van den Berg, who's with Tervis Travel Services. And then we've also got Dulit Divi Galpitia. I think that I've pronounced that right. I hope so. But Dilith is there with Tracy. Hey, how are you guys?
Hello.
Hey, Gareth.
Good. Nice to see you. And I'm so happy that we're actually traveling on the show this morning because we have people on telling us these amazing stories from all over the place, but they're never in the place. And this morning we're actually there. So tell us about what Sri Lanka's been like, Trace, so far.
It's been an experience, Gareth. I mean, it's a bit of a shock to the system initially, I think. You know, so Colombo is a huge city with vast extremes, but an amazing destination. And then the coastline is Durban, you know, giant version of Durban minus the E. coli, which is great. So it's been awesome. It really has been a wonderful experience. The food has been amazing. The people are awesome. We've done some amazing things, which I'm sure we'll get to talk about.
Mm.
And Dulit has just been phenomenal. So, you know, he's been looking after us while we've been here. So it's awesome. Really good. Great destination.
So, Dulit, tell me about what you want people to see when they first get to Sri Lanka, because I've heard wonderful things about Sri Lanka. And I do think that most people know where it is. It's a huge, big island just to the south of India. Right. I would imagine exactly the sort of vegetation and appearance that Tracy's already told us about. But what do you want people to see when they come there? Like what's the first stop?
Well, Sri Lanka is an island roughly the size of half of Western Cape. It's about 65,000 square kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
So Sri Lanka's basically got everything apart from snow and deserts.
Wow.
So from wildlife to beaches to what we call the adventure, tea, culture, archaeology, everything. It's just basically a one-stop shop for everything, basically, apart from, let's say, the ski resorts.
Well, I mean, you can't have everything, but I do love that list. And obviously, I think for a lot of people, they will know a bit if you've done any history on that part of the world. Sri Lanka obviously used to be called Ceylon, and tea is a very, very famous and well-known export from Sri Lanka, right?
Correct. So Sri Lanka's got many names because we've got a recorded history of over 2,500 years.
Wow.
So we've had invasions from southern India. Then in the 16th century, we had the Portuguese coming in. And then the 17th, we've got the Dutch. Eventually, the British ended up. And we got our independence in 1948, just after India.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had all of those influences into our culture and traditions. So referring to tea, so it was the British who actually started planting tea in the 19th century. So, and Sri Lanka's got actually one of the best tea in the world. It's one of our main exports. And if you go to the montane part of the country, you're going to see endless mountain ranges of tea plantations.
Fantastic.
It is quite a sight.
Yeah, that must be beautiful. So Trace, what have you liked so far the most?
We went out onto, I think it's Mardu River.
Yes.
Yesterday on a boat cruise. And we also had rain here yesterday. Karen and I were wet the entire day, but we didn't let it stop us. So we had a great, great attitude. But we went out onto the Mardu River on a little boat cruise, which I can't actually explain to you. It's a bit of a spiritual sort of experience, besides the fact that it's just unbelievably beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the vegetation is dotted with monasteries and, you know, Buddha statues. It's just unbelievable. So that was a phenomenal experience for me. And then we did release little turtles yesterday in the rain. I thought we were going to be struck by lightning, but we released little baby turtles. And that was an awesome experience. So that's a highlight for me so far.
Wow. Sounds amazing. Dilit, what is the breakdown in terms of demographics in the population? Buddhist, Hindu, what are the major demographics?
So we've got a population of just over 22 million.
Wow.
And out of that, 75% is Sinhalese Buddhists.
Okay.
And then about 10 to 15 is about Tamils. And the rest is a split between Muslims and the Christians. But the Tamils also, the Christian population is also part, the Tamil population and the Sinhalese population also have Christians in them. So it's not Tamil being Hindu or Sinhalese being Buddhist, because we've had the colonial powers that brought in Christianity and Catholicism.
Right.
And the Arab traders brought in the Moors and, well, Islam to the country.
Right.
So it's predominantly a Buddhist country where 70% is Buddhist, practicing Buddhist. But so that would be the rough breakdown of all the...
And the languages? I mean, Tamil, I would imagine, is spoken there. What else?
So we've got three predominant languages, number one being Sinhalese. I would say 95% of the population speaks Sinhalese.
Okay.
Then you get Tamil, and then you get English.
Right.
So Sri Lanka is one of those countries where a lot of people are... They might not be fluent in English, but they understand English.
Right. And Colombo...
If you're traveling, let's say, in the rural parts, and then you're trying to find your way, you can actually speak to people and they will actually guide you, although they might not reply to you very fluently.
Amazing.
So it's very easy to get around the country.
So, I mean, for anyone who was concerned that they wouldn't be able to speak the language, this doesn't sound like it's a problem
not
in Sri Lanka.
Not an issue at all.
And Colombo is obviously the capital city, so that's
correct.
Where that's
correct.
The biggest city as well. That's where a lot of people would go. That would be your point of entry or your point of exit. But what would you say are the major places that people have to go to, and how difficult is it to get to them? You know, this river that Tracy was telling us about sounds beautiful. How far mm-hmm. out of the, you know, the leaping distance of people who are in Colombo is this?
So the rough transfer time from one destination to another is between 2 to 3 hours.
Okay.
So from Colombo, if you drive 3 hours to the north central part, you're in the cultural triangle. That's where you get all the archaeological sites, the UNESCO World Heritages, a couple of national parks. And then from there, you go to Kandy, which is again another 3 hours. Then you take the train of 2 hours to the tea country. And then again, another 2.5 hours to the south coast, where you get in one of the biggest, the Yala National Park, which has got the highest density of leopards in the world.
Leopards?
It doesn't have it doesn't have the highest number of leopards. It's got the highest density of leopards in the world.
I was just about to ask you about wildlife, because you mentioned these natural preserves and these parks. What kind of animals are indigenous to Sri Lanka? Because it's been, you know, a couple of million years since Sri Lanka was separated from the subcontinent, but it is an island. It's a substantial island. It's not small. What kind of animals have been living there for the last couple of millennia?
I would say there's a lot of endemic species to Sri Lanka per se, but there's a lot of endemic species in the Indian subcontinent. So you get a lot of migratory birds that actually travel between in the region. And in terms of our big five, you could say, would be the leopard, the Asian elephant, the sloth bear, the sperm whale, and the blue whale.
I mean, it's not that's not a bad list of things either. So, Tracy, you guys are obviously putting together a trip there, and this was a really interesting out of left field idea. I mean, I don't think that Sri Lanka is unknown to anybody, but it's probably not on everyone's top 10. Are you completely won over by the place? I mean, are you feeling? You said you had like this semi spiritual experience on the river yesterday, and I'm sure that there are places all over the world that you've seen to compare it with. I mean, what do you think of Sri Lanka on a South African tourism basis? I mean, you have to convince other people that this is one of the best places to go to, and you really do have a wide repertoire of places to choose from.
Well, firstly, I think it is, you're right, it's a very different destination, number one. Number two, you know, travel is meant to, I think, enrich your life in different ways. Mm-hmm. So, yes, if you are a traveler that's used to the European destinations and you're not adventurous and you want the normal and you want to just do the same thing all the time, then maybe Sri Lanka isn't for you. But if you slightly open-minded, you know, you love connecting with different people, you love different landscapes, then it is something that you should look at. It's a phenomenal place. And I had this discussion with Dulit yesterday because I said it took me a little while to sort of make up my mind on how I felt about Sri Lanka. And I think that is a good thing because more often than not, it does mean there's some sort of shift taking place within me or within a traveler that comes here. You know, right. It's not a cut or dry, you know.
Well, I saw an interesting comment here, Dulit. You might like this. Sri Lanka also have an above average cricket team, and cricket's obviously a big part of things too. J.S. Hansen says, when I visited, it was like being in a hot sauna. So hot. So what's the weather been like for you guys? You said it rained yesterday.
And it was still hot. I mean, at the moment, we try to find a little bit of a secluded spot to do the call, but I think it's probably... well, firstly, it's about past 10 year. It's probably about 25, 26 degrees already. And it's humid. It's like Thailand and it's like KZN. It really is a beautiful, beautiful derbs.
Yeah, I love it. Temperatures usually are in the high 20s or the early low 30s. But it's not the heat that gets you. It's the humidity that gets to you.
I don't think that's so bad. We're just coming to the end of summer here in South Africa, and I'm very reticent to let it go. So I like the sound of this. All right, enjoy Sri Lanka, Tracy. We'll see you when you get back. And thank you for telling us, Dulit. Thank you so much for telling us about this fascinating place. It's real travel in real time. I love it. You're doing the exploratory mission for us, Trace, and we get to meet people like Dulit as a bonus.
For sure. Thanks, Gareth.
Thanks, Gareth.
Awesome. There it is, the window seat, which is brought to you. Thanks, everybody. Brought to you by travel.co.za. You interested in going to Sri Lanka now?
Definitely.
Looks cool,
I love traveling.
Yeah. Doesn't look like a bad place by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, no.
And it sounds like you have a whole world of contrasts on this one island.
Yeah.
So there we go. As Tracy and Dulit from Sri Lanka this morning on the window seat. You can find out more by going along to travel.co.za, and who knows what exciting destination we'll go to next. We'll be back in just a moment or two, and Shildre will be joining me. And then we also got a special guest joining us in the last hour too. There's lots to talk about with this being budget week. Is the finance minister going to raise taxes? If he is, by how much and where? And what is this going to mean for our economy? All of these questions, these are serious things that we need to consider this morning. All of that and more on the way.